Chapter 8. Living a Lie. Archer could not stop thinking about Ellen. She might come to visit her grandmother again, he told himself. Or I could go to Portsmouth. If I could see the places where she walks, the world might seem less empty. But a week later, he learned that the Countess was in Boston at the Parker House Hotel. Early the next morning, Archer took the train to Boston, telling May that Mr. Letterblair wanted him there on business. At 9:30 a.m., he was walking down the hot, crowded streets to the Parker House Hotel. Suddenly, there was Ellen, on a seat under a tree. He moved slowly toward her, and then she turned. "Oh," she said, and for the first time he saw surprise on her face. Then she smiled. Archer sat down by her side. "I'm here on business," he said. "But what are you doing here? Are you alone?" He did not know what he was saying. "I'm on business too," she answered. "Are you meeting someone?" he asked, jealous thoughts quickly filling his mind. "Yes. My husband wants me to go back to him. He'll give me money. Money that was mine. But I won't go. Not for any amount of money." Archer jumped up angrily and walked away for a moment before turning and standing in front of her. "Is your husband here?" She looked at him and then laughed. "No, of course not. He sent his secretary with a message." Archer could not bear to hear that word. He remembered the stories about her running away with the secretary. "Has that person gone?" he asked. "Not yet. I promised to think about it before I answer." They sat for a moment without speaking. "I can't breathe in this hot weather," Archer said at last. "Let's go out on a boat. It won't be as hot on the water." Ellen looked up at him, unsure how to reply. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I only want to hear about your life in Washington. It seems like 100 years since we met." "Why didn't you come and get me from the pier that day at Granny's?" she said. "Because you didn't look round. You didn't know that I was there." "I did. I heard your voice in the house, so I went down to the pier." "To get away from me?" "To get away from you," she said, with that smile again. He laughed. "You can't get away from me. My business in Boston was just to find you. Now, let's go." Soon they were out on the sea, away from the hot, crowded streets of Boston. The boat took them to a village, where they ate lunch in a quiet restaurant. Archer preferred not to talk about himself. He only wanted to hear about Ellen's life in Washington. "New York society is kind, but I'm too different to be a part of it," she told him. "I needed a change. I wanted other people and other ideas. If we're so boring, why don't you go back to Europe? He said crossly. She did not answer for a while. I believe that it's because of you, she said at last. You've helped me to understand something. Things may appear boring on the outside, but inside there is something very important which we mustn't lose. You've made me a better person. But what have you made me? He cried. I got married because you told me to. You promised not to speak of these things today, she said, because we must always think of May. We gave things up for her, to stop her being unhappy. In Europe, no one cared about making others happy. They put themselves first. That's what I wanted to get away from. But you opened my eyes to real life, and then you ask me to live a lie. I can't bear it, said Archer. Oh, don't say that, when I have to bear it, said Ellen, beginning to cry. He saw in her face how much pain she was feeling, and was shocked. But you won't go back, he said. I won't, as long as we can stay like this. He understood her perfectly. She wanted to be close to him, but he must not come nearer. Is that all there can be for us? He stood up and moved toward her. She got up, too, and stretched out her hands to meet his. At the same time, her arms were holding him back. Don't be unhappy, she said. Don't go back, he answered.